welcome to another offering of Heavenly Blessings with Linda Dillon, channel for the Council of Love and author of The New You, Emerging into the Brilliance of Humanity's Heart Consciousness, and myself, Suzanne Maresca. 2 weeks ago, we aired a show on a topic that touches each of us in a different way. One of the purposes in our taking the subject of human sexuality to the air is to bring a more relaxed attitude to the discussion. It's who we are, just as much as we are starseeds, earthkeepers, and loveholders. And it is most certainly a form of self-love to embrace our physicality. We understand that for some of our listeners, this is an uncomfortable subject. If you think about it, discomfort and embarrassment around sex is a conditioned response. We've been given, in some cases for all our lives, inaccurate messages about our bodies and our desires. We thank all of you for embarking on this journey with us. If we can accept the assistance available from our higher dimensional friends to clear and reprogram false grids around our sexuality, perhaps together we can reach a new understanding of the divine perfection of the human body and the innate power we have to connect with the very highest of frequencies. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Susie. And what a fabulous introduction. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this is simply a continuation and an outgrowth of our entire conversation that we've been having with the Council of Love around union and sacred partnership and sacred union and ascension, but ascension by keeping our form. I mean, it would be really bizarre from my perspective, excuse me, if we were to continue the conversation about ascension in form and really co-creation and simply ignore some of the basic elements of our physicality, of who we are.
Yeah.
So I'm really glad. It's difficult at moments. It's like, okay, take a deep breath. And I know that for some of our listeners, it's really pushing the envelope.
Yes.
But you know what? If you're feeling in the slightest bit pushed, like, what are they doing talking about this on a show where the ascended masters are supposed to be speaking to us? If it's making you in the least bit uncomfortable, that's a good thing. Because all that means, don't judge it, all it means is that there's that conditioning that Susie just spoke about that's inside of you that has always said, you know, that sex is dirty.
Exactly.
Or that sex is only for, you know, the creation of family. And I come from a very good Catholic family, you know.
Yeah.
And there were, you know, 5-6 kids popped off with great regularity. And I come from a very loving family, and my brothers and sisters are my best friends. So it's not like I would want to eliminate any of that, but there's more to it. There's more to it. And what we're saying is, as we expand our consciousness and come to our place of heart consciousness, we want a fuller understanding of who we are.
Yes, exactly.
We want it all.
Well, you know, as naturally sensual beings, we take the negative message and go underground with our feelings. And the thing is that covert feelings end up surfacing at some point, and it's the things we hide even from ourselves that end up hurting us the most.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm a really sensual person. I'm one of those people, if I walk through, and it's a rarity that I do walk through, but if I walk through like a store or a department store, I'm one of those people that's feeling all the fabric and breathing in all the colors, because to me it's a sensual experience. I'm not a shopper, but when I go and I see these silks and these soft cottons and these beautiful nubbly wools, I mean, it's sensual. You know, it's like you walk through an orchard and you smell the peach and the pear and the strawberries in the field. I mean, all of these things have to do with our senses and way to experience the beauty of Gaia and the beauty of who we are.
Yes, exactly. I remember going through Pike's Place Market in Seattle with my daughter, and there's like, gazillions of flowers everywhere, and we're going from bunch to bunch like a couple of bees, because it was just so intoxicating to smell the flowers there.
Yeah. So this is, you know, us taking to the next level, Universal Mother Mary's advice to gentle ourselves, to nurture ourselves, to take a bubble bath, to, you know, paint our toenails blue, whatever it takes to really acknowledge that we love and cherish and are happy to be in our bodies.
Yes. Well, I would like my body to feel better, and I'm looking forward to that. And I keep hoping that my spiritual work will carry my body through, but...
Let me tell you something I've been doing lately, and I don't think you and I have talked about it, and I certainly haven't talked about it on air. I've been claiming my 10th dimensional body because the 10th dimension is the dimension of beauty, and you can't be beauty if you're sickly or you have asthma or, you know, getting colds or flus or all our ascension symptoms. So rather than just going to the fifth or the seventh, I've been calling forth my 10th dimensional body. So it's a work in progress, obviously, but I will keep everybody posted.
All right. Well, I've been doing the seventh dimension, you know, I'll step up to the 10th, no problem.
Come with me. Okay. I want everybody to come with me because it could be fun for us to just experiment and see. Because when I go to the 10th dimension, it's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
So,
okay, shall we launch into a meditation then?
Yes, we
will. Oh, wait, no, there's one more thing. Kathleen has been assembling all the, people have been asking about the universal laws all in one place and easily accessed, and I believe that's all been put together, has it not?
Yes, it has, and there's a new book put out, published by us, Council of Love, and it has been put together as a loving service, I can only call it service, by Kathleen Willis, our soul sister, and actually a great deal of the editing has been done by Steve Becko. And what it has done, what Kathleen has done, and we've compiled it into a book, is because this is part of the material for the new you. The book is called, and the CD is called, Chakras as Portals. The CD came first. It was a channeled meditation, and I'm sure some of you have seen it online. But what it's doing is using the chakra meditation to act as a portal into the different dimensions, 1 through 12. And so it's really interesting. And then what we've done is actually tied that to universal law and to the blessings and virtues, the divine qualities. So what this does in a really easy-peasy way is it ties in universal law with you practicing and understanding more clearly how to become and how to go and travel to the different dimensions and what the qualities are that you're receiving there and integrating and anchoring there, along with, of course, opening and balancing your chakra system. So what we've done is we've compiled all that information in a booklet and then matched it to the meditation CD. So that's available on the Council of Love website, both products for $25, which I think is a really good deal. People have been using it. We just finished it. The unveiling of the book and the matching CD, the accompanying CD, was unveiled in Lake Tahoe just recently, and we were saving it for that. So now we're back, and we're actually back to work and getting anchored. So it's available on the website. So I think it's an amazing tool, and so I think you should all rush out and get it.
Oh, my. That's funny. right. So let me see. Is there anything else then before we do that?
That's a lot, don't you think?
Well, yes, absolutely. It is. I mean, we're, you know, 11 minutes into the show, and we've already had a lot of content. So anyway.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the thing, is that our content, there's so many things that are building one on another, on another, on another, that the content and the substance, the essence of what we're doing in so many ways is becoming thicker, like that book of marrying universal
right.
law, interdimensional, blah, 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 blah,
right.
is thick. But then we have to remember that it all just comes back to love. If you're doing the love, you're done.
That's true. Should we talk at all about basically everyone more and more identifying with both the Divine Mother and with Jesus?
Oh, it's not just the Divine Mother and Jesus. I've had, we can talk about that. And I know that the Magdalena, too, plans to say a few words. But often, both of us, you, Susie, and I, either through personal comments or through channeled questions, I guess, people indicate that they are Jesus or that they are the Divine Mother or that they are Mary Magdalene or that they are, you know, Saint Germain. The list is extensive. And, of course, I think part of that is determined by your ray, your color, your soul mission, and who you love the most, who you associate with. And I mentioned to you that sometimes people are upset when they don't receive the kind of confirmation that they're really hoping for in terms of, yes, they are that person. Or the other thing that I often will witness is that they believe that they are the partner. So like the partner of Archangel Uriel or the partner of Saint Germain and so on. Now, we talked a little bit about this in Lake Tahoe. And my concern, actually the council's concern, is that when we do this, you know, I'm an archangel, I'm a seraphim,
oh
you're only just an angel, that it really creates this feeling of a hierarchy.
Exactly.
So what we're doing is, because the implication is, and I know we don't do it consciously, is I'm slightly above you, or I'm holier than you, or I've done more than you. And that's not of love. But I think what we're seeing, well, I know what we're seeing. We're all one.
Yes.
And we're on one grid. And so it's very easy and sometimes misleading because our hearts want us to be the biggest, the best. But because we have that such a close connection, sometimes we feel, because it's a feeling thing, that we are that person because we've keyed into the memories or we feel the emotions. But it's because we're actually expanding.
Right.
And that sense of unity is growing stronger and stronger and stronger. And just in its simplest form, I think all of us would say that we're feeling each other. Like
right.
we feel, you know, more about, you probably feel more about how I'm feeling on any given day, and I probably you, because our closeness
right.
is growing.
Yes, indeed.
I think you have something to add to this conversation.
Oh. Well, I do, kind of, and I just feel like it's an integration of, say, the Christ consciousness into every heart, that we are just all feeling the love, okay, and the unity, and like you said, we're all one, so it's not necessarily like feeling someone else's feelings, it's like a unified grid of feelings that we're moving into instead of just our own individual one. I mean, people that process for the collective know this very well. That we're connected to one another in ways that we could process someone else's negative feelings or collective ones. But at the by the same token, we are also connected to all the masters and the angels and having their feelings and thoughts as well. So I think if we just allow ourselves to be overlit by these beings, whoever they may be, that it's just an allowing process and we don't have to own it.
Nicely put, Susie.
Thank you, dear.
Yeah.
All right. So,
let's all become Mary Magdalene.
Okay.
Let's go.
All right.
So let's begin by taking a nice deep breath of that beautiful pink, the deep, almost fuchsia pink. That brilliant pink of a sweetheart rose, of an outrageous sunset. And feel yourself as you begin to breathe in through your nose, out breath down into your heart. Let's all feel, as together we let go of the week ahead, let go of our to-do lists, let go of this feeling that there's anything undone, and sink into your heart and let yourself be. Give yourself this gift. And breathe the pink rose. And now feel as if your heart, that huge expanded heart, is simply turning in to this big, beautiful, deep pink rose. Feel it. Breathe it. Smell the scent, the fragrance. Taste it on your tongue. Feel the soft, velvety texture of the rose petals as they come up and caress your shoulders, and feel that glorious stem, that beautiful living green, and feel it come out the bottom of your heart, the seat of your soul, and go down your chakra system, out of your root chakra, down through the floor, the cement, the earth, the dirt, the gaseous layers, the rock, down to the heart of Gaia. It's doing a U-turn, going up to the heart of Gaia. Now come back up to the rose and feel the energy of this magnificent flower and the beautiful fragrance that emanates from it, and feel the fragrance floating up filling your throat and your head, opening your crown, and feel that sunlight and the softest breeze coming down through your crown with that energy of one, and kissing your rose, caressing your rose, opening it more fully. Just allow yourself to be the rose. Greetings, I am Mary. I am the Magdalena.
Welcome.
And welcome to you. Welcome to all of you, beloved family, beloved friends, fellow light workers, fellow love holders. Welcome back. I embrace you. I share the rose. Become the rose. I am eager to share with you the wisdom that I have garnered. Some of you, my sweet angels, some of you are taken aback that I speak of such private matters. First, that I do not claim myself as saint or master. When I have lived, and long since, I have so often been called the whore, the sinner, and it has highlighted the duality and the judgment of the old third, that one is either or, that you are either saint or sinner, master or student. It is not so. So I do not claim in any way an elevated position. I come to you as sister of the heart, and in so many ways, after many hundreds and hundreds of years of silence, I step forward not merely to share what I know, and what I know to be truth and beauty and wisdom, but this is also part of who I am. This is part of my greater mission and purpose. I am teacher, I am channel, I am sister. And although there are some who find it slightly disturbing that I speak of everyday existence, whether it is 2,000 years ago or yesterday. Why do I do this? It is because sacred living, whether it is partnership or intimacy or family or romantic love or divine love, all of this is every day. Connection, unity of heart, of mind, of will, of being was never intended to be a now and then thing. It was never intended to be a special occasion. Oh, I love you today. A soul, a woman, a man, a child, a parent, becomes very tired, soul weary, when they have to wait for a special occasion to be told or reassured that they are loved and cherished. Now you say to me, Magdalena, the love is in the action. It is not merely in the words. I express my love in what I do and how I take care of those I cherish. And so, yes, dear hearts, I agree with you. It is in the everyday. But part of this everyday includes the expressions, multiple, of love. I wish to begin today by speaking about intimate conversation. Now the mother has opened the floodgates and we are flying through, and I am not the only one who wishes or who will speak on this matter. I am here this day. What is intimate conversation? It is truth speaking. It is heart speaking. It is heart listening. It is vulnerability. It is exposure. When I look at so many of you, and I do, I see that there is a reticence or a hesitancy to express yourself in terms of I want, I need, I desire. There are feelings amongst many that if you should express the truth of what you really want, emotionally, physically, sexually, materially, financially, spiritually, co-creation, that either your prayer will not be heard, therefore you find yourself lacking, or more directly, that your partner not only will not hear you, but will not respond in the way that you are, in many cases, deeply and almost desperately hoping. So what you do is you keep these feelings and these desires to yourself. And of course, what that does is set a paradigm, because it does not give your beloved permission to speak their deepest dreams and desires as well. How can you possibly progress or become truly intimate in the truest sense of the word of which I spoke a couple of weeks ago. How do you come to that spark of light, that spark of love, surrender to your divinity and each other's divinity, if there is not a willingness to have the intimate conversation, the truthful conversation? Is it easy? Sometimes it is not easy in the beginning. But the more you have it, the more normal and easy it becomes. So it is a matter of not holding back. What is the point of being in sacred union if you are not willing, or if you feel you do not have permission, the green light, to truly express how you feel? And I do not simply mean sexuality. What is the secret of your heart? What is the frivolous thing that you wish to do? What is your biggest burden that you wish to share? What is the worry that you need right now to let go of? And sometimes the speaking of it to your beloved other, whether it is your partner, your dearest friend, your sister, your brother, your mother, your father, the speaking of it brings it out. So if you are not communicating in physical language, whether it is French, German, Indian, or English, not all effective communication is yet telepathic. Was it telepathic between my beloved Yeshua and I? Yes. Which also meant it was very hard to keep secrets. And that was a good thing. But it is sharing. It is sharing the mundane, and it is sharing the sublime. Let us start there. Dearest Suzanne, where do you wish to begin?
Oh, thank you, Mary, for joining us once again to explore this sensitive topic. I'd like to preface my first question by saying that I personally have a tendency to always look for the silver lining. It's my way to be aware of the difficult aspects of life, but not to focus on them, preferring instead to put my attention on what I love and what I want. In the case of healing work, however, it's been an important part of the human process to know where we've been in order to get beyond our wounding and let it go. Can we take a look, please, at how we got to a place where the sexual nature of humanity was actually subverted and used to control us? I mean, okay, so that's it.
That is it in a nutshell, is it, dear heart?
Yeah, kind of.
It is the issue of control. Understand, you have heard, all of us, including the mother, telling you, begging you, suggesting that this is a time of partnership and of co-creation. Humans, and I mean each and every one of you who listen to this broadcast today, later, a year from now, those who never hear this broadcast, but my energy goes out across the world, across the planet. The ability to create. The first and most fundamental human lesson of being in form is that when the male and female come together in sexual intimacy, in orgasm, This is basic biology 101, and it is the ability to create life. Can you imagine? This is the mirror, the physical demonstration of your divinity. Is your planet, is dear Gaia, overpopulated extremely? Has she accommodated her family? Yes. Does she accommodate that family, feeding them and nurturing them? Yes. Does that need to reverse somewhat? Yes. But let us not get off track. You are born with the capacity to create life the same way the Mother, Father, One does. The awe of that, not because you are of the religious rite or some belief system, simply biologically the fact. Sexuality, the chemistry that each of you, even when you have fully denied it or tapped it down or subjugated it entirely or gone to the belief that somehow being celibate is an act of sacred service, sexuality, attraction. And I don't even mean just sexual attraction. I mean when you look sister to sister and you say, I think you have the most beautiful hair on the planet. Your eyes sparkle. Your smile is divine. But there is an element of physicality, of sexuality within that, that is denied because it is assigned as dirty. We are getting there. Sexuality and the power to sexually attract is one of the most basic elements of creation upon the planet. You think of it many times as associated with the universal law of attraction, and that is accurate. But if someone wants to control when the desire was born amongst a very, very small group of beings who wish to think that they would be the gods, thinking God meant controller of this planet, the very first thing they did was to begin to manipulate and change the idea set, the belief set, about what sexuality and that power to create was truly about. So now you have your mythologies about evil and the snake in the garden and all of that. This is a manipulation by humans to try and control the most powerful force upon the planet.
Yes.
Your physical being that houses your very soul and your spark of divinity. So then came the idea that your spark of divinity was actually somehow limited to your body, rather than your body being inside your larger self. So they began to shrink you and then to control what they then termed as lust. And lust is the, can we say, the misalignment or misappropriation or misdirection of sexual attraction. It is putting yourself forward in ways. And lust is not limited, obviously, to sexuality, but it began this way. So any sexual feeling was then translated as lust and as evil. Then, because people desire nothing more, nothing, than to be in alignment with one, they began to deny their very sexuality and their ability to create. Mm-hmm. So it shrank and shrank and shrank to the point where you felt, and I say you, collective humans, including the collective that I lived with as well, there was the belief that the true embodiment of the totality of one's being was somehow lustful or sinful, because it was a declaration that you chose not to be controlled, that your tie with your body, your divinity, was direct with the Mother, Father, One. I do not speak this way in any way, shape, or form to decry religious teachings. But many of these teachings, unfortunately, which is why I caused so much trouble, have been about control. Now, as it grew generation after generation, in many traditions, the temptation factor was introduced. So when you are tempted, tap that feeling of desire down. Now, if the practice had been, use the desire, use your kundalini, use your sexual energy for further spiritual opening, then I would not be having a disagreement. But right. To simply try and tap it down into the realm of frustration and feeling ill about yourself is wrong. So that is how it began. And then it became institutionalized. And one of the reasons why you see such aberrant behavior is because this idea of genuine intimacy, of sexual and physical and emotional union, has become something that the humans have almost forgotten about. But have you, in your reawakening, in your ascension process, this has not only bubbled to the surface, it has boiled over. And you are saying, well, wait a minute, I do not want to be in form without the freedoms that come along with it. Sexual, financial, legal, political, social. I do not want to be on planet without the fullness of my union and without the declaration of my freedom. And part of your freedom is the right not to flaunt your sexuality or your desires, but most certainly to have them, to use that energy and to act upon that energy. Do you understand what I say?
I do, and I appreciate you speaking to that very much. Okay, if I might ask a question about your training. You said that some of your training was more to make you culturally appropriate for the times and for what lay ahead. And I'm so intrigued with the idea of not only being consciously prepared for an incarnation, but able to remember all previous training and connection while in form on Earth. Many in form now, myself most enthusiastically included, are longing to remember. It's coming back in bits and pieces, but perception is everything when it comes to the ability to manifest. Knowing who we are is so key. Can you please speak to that?
If anything, all of you have been overtrained. Now let us speak to this. Yes, I have been trained above and below, if you can think of it that way. I have been a priestess on Galatea, which was a sister planet to Earth. I have trained in the temples of Atlantis, of Isis. I have trained in the halls of Venus, yes, with the Kumaras. I have lived and trained with the Essenes. And I have been trained, certainly in the Judaic tradition. What will surprise you is that prior to my return, I was also fully trained in what you can think of as many of the early Christian traditions. There was nothing new about many of the traditions that grew out of what people came to think of as Christianity. There are adaptations that are as old and, in fact, older than the creator race. Yes. Mystery schools, sacred trainings, did not simply begin on Gaia. They are as ancient as the mother. So you might say, sweet angel, that I am a very old soul. Now, the mother has said to you all that you are not simply masters in training, masters in the making, I believe is her term, that you have come in form to assume your mastery. Many of you speak and ask and request for the masters, my beloved Yeshua, Saint Germain, Sanat Kumara, Raj, yes, good friend, ally, you ask for many of us to return to Earth right now, all together, or one at a time. The requests vary, but basically it is, can you please show up and show us how, because humanity is so dense. And then you are frustrated because we do not. Well, in fact, what do you think we are doing by having these conversations? We are showing up. We are not showing up in full physicality, but dear heart, we are showing up in ways that we have never done before upon this or any planet.
Wow.
So that is a huge, momentous step. But one of the very reasons we don't show up is we are wanting, all of us are working overtime, and we don't get paid. for you to assume your mastery. You say that you remember bits and pieces and that you would like the full spectrum. But what I also suggest to you, humbly, not dismissively, you are remembering what is of most value.
True.
If I was to lead you through just one ritual and the intricacies of a ritual, from the words to the actions, mantras, mudras, process, it might take us hours and hours, and that would simply be my teaching, not demonstrating and actually bringing you through. Now, would I like to do that? Yes.
Mm.
But, and I am being nudged, do you need to do that? Would you love to do that? Yes. Would we love to do that with you? Yes. And that is what many of the rituals that we do share with you and many of the meditations that we do share with you are about. But you, sweet Suzanne, have said, my ritual these days become briefer because my intent, my knowing, my process is abbreviated because I am already in that alignment.
Yes.
The process of ritual, of prayer. Now, we are not saying to eliminate these. Do not misunderstand me. But the process is to bring you into that alignment, not only with the divine, but even when you have a ritual with your sacred other, even when you have a ritual for yourself. What is it doing? It is bringing you into alignment. It is your declaration to the universe, I am going to do this now. So it is becoming more rapid, more streamlined. And because you are operating within the what you think of as the time continuum, it has need to be more abbreviated because, dear heart, you are at the portal. Now, when you are through the portal, we may investigate and initiate even more rituals because they are beautiful.
Mm.
They do raise your vibration. It is a community action.
Oh.
It is a sacred way of coming together in the recognition of our sacred union. But do not think, because you cannot remember all the rituals that I have shared with you before, the rituals of when you have been in a scene, the rituals of Isis, the rituals of Atlantis, that you are somehow missing something.
Okay.
The only thing that you are missing, the blank that I am here to help you fill in, is loving your body.
Okay.
So many light workers spend the time with us. We love that. We love that your hearts are open and elevated. But you have need to not simply love your mission, your soul, your guides, your higher self, your universal self, the way you love us. You have need to embrace and to love your body. Your interdimensional, multidimensional, human new form, which is original form.
beautiful. This is so wonderful. I'm really, really grateful for this conversation. Okay, in our last show, I understood you to say that the human collective was almost at a vibration high enough for disease to be unable to proliferate. So when we reach a certain point then in our ascension process, pretty much any and all human ailments will become extinct because we've chosen to disallow their existence. You know I want to ask when, but I'll settle for a yes.
Yes. Now, let us explain.
Oh, thank you.
When you are vibrating at a certain level, what you think of as bacteria, as virus, as various sources of disease, literally cannot maintain their life force at that vibratory level. Now, your quality of your electromagnetic field not only has been altered, as you were assuming, your light body, your electrical quotient has been increased, but also not only are you more electrical, the quality of that electrical vibration is at a higher frequency, as is your magnetic capacity. And the vibration between the two is, think of it as a template that is moving and eliminating disease. Mm-hmm. Now, disease, as you know, comes from primarily from the mental and emotional bodies, first of all, anyway, or from past lives. So what is occurring is as you are reaching a frequency of love, there is no need for those errant ideas or emotions to get your body's attention by going awry. Now, as you enter the higher frequency, are there times, not disease, but we would call little malfunctions, will they come up? The answer is yes, so that you say, oh, and this is the assumption that you do not have your complete vision and internal mechanism working perfectly, which is also going to happen. But you can say, I have a pain in my neck. Mm-hmm. That must mean there is something in my field that is giving me a pain in the neck. Let me address it.
Mm-hmm.
And you would do so as quickly as that. Because pain is something that you have already decided that you don't deserve.
Mm.
You see, pain has had, in some cases, a very saintly quality. I am suffering in service. I am suffering for God.
Wow.
God does not want you to suffer. The mother does not want you to suffer. I do not want you to suffer. So who are you suffering for?
Mm.
Many of these ridiculous ideas are going by the wayside. Now, I am not telling you that your pain, that those of you who are out there and in severe pain, that you are ridiculous. Let me be very clear about that. You are suffering because you are processing, in most cases, the ideations, beliefs, or emotions of the collective.
Mm-hmm.
But love them. Love them into submission and send them on their way. They have no place in your physical body. Put them outside of your field. That is always where I kept our, shall I say, our naysayers. I won't use the term enemies, but that is where I put them, and I would work on them, and I would send them energy out there. They had no place within the sacred space of our family, within the intimacy of our family. So send them on their way. Send them love. Do not let them in. But yes, disease disappears.
Excellent. Excellent. Oh, thank you so much. I know that this is going to be an ongoing conversation, and I'm very grateful for that. And I would just like to ask if you have any closing comments.
Yes. I have asked you a few weeks ago, and I ask you again daily, hourly. What is the intimacy of your heart and soul? Follow your heart's desires. Engage with each other in the most intimate, truthful of ways. Let this revolution of love, of intimacy begin. Go with my love. Go with my tender embrace. Farewell.
Farewell, Mary. Love you. Bye. Okay.